Do this.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 2 of the Bottle Rocket Podcast with me, Chris.
And me, Jake.
And me, Ben.
And me, the month.
Great.
I'm going to kick this one straight off by saying I know two of the people in this conversation have already seen X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the two that hasn't. So straight off the bat, you know, there's going to be no spoilers because I just don't want to know. I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Oh, man.
That's fair.
I'm going to see it tomorrow. Yeah. I want to see everything for myself.
It's you may worth not be going alone. It's worth going in spoiler free.
But, you know, did you guys enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really did.
Did it live up to the hype?
I avoided a lot of the hype, I think. I mean, I knew kind of from you, actually, like what it was about. When I saw it and it was a Bryan Singer X-Men film again, I thought, oh, this is weird because they've already rebooted it, kind of. This is sort of awkward, actually. And I wasn't quite sure where they'd take it after X-Men 3 because most of the cast were dead. But yeah, when I heard that it was going to try and tie the two timelines together, I thought it's going to be a mess. And it was really good, actually. I really, really
enjoyed it. I'm a massive fan of that comic book arc. It's one of the stories I've read the most.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I've gathered, it's not done the same way in the movie as it is in the comics. But I think that was a lot of that was due to sort of pressures of the fan base and Wolverine being the sort of poster boy of the modern X-Men.
How is it done in the comic? Like, what's...
Well, in the comic, it's Kitty Pryde who gets sent back.
Ah, right.
But obviously, she's been cast as Alan Page.
Yes.
And just the age. She at this point in time, she's supposed to be about 35, I think. So when she gets sent back in time, it all shakes out, and she's her younger self again. And whatever.
I think Ellen Page is 35. Like she's just always looked like Ellen
just
Page.
She's 12,
which is kind of unfortunate for her. And I think she's in her 30s, which is weird.
Yeah. So the storyline they used in the cartoon was slightly different. Again, it was that's where they used Bishop.
Okay.
Rather than Kitty Pryde, and I've seen pictures of him in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he plays quite a big part in it.
So what did Bishop do in the comics? What was he?
He wasn't so much in the comic, but in the cartoon, he was the one that got sent back.
Ah, okay.
He is a big time traveling character though in the X-Men universe, so it makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he got sent back and then instantly forgot what he'd been sent back to do.
It's the worst time traveler ever.
I'm sure I came to do something.
Yes.
Imagine if Doctor Who did that. It'd make for a boring one series part, wouldn't it?
Every episode, like, I'm sure something was supposed to happen somewhere.
Yeah. The Dalek behind him. Who are you?
And then I lived in Victorian England forever. Now Bishop's in the movie. He kicks some ass. It's all good.
Good.
I don't know how close to his powers the movie is to the comic books, because I've not really seen Bishop in action other than knowing he's got some kind of mad skills. But in the film, he sort of absorbs other people's powers and then transfers that into his own weapon. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Chris and Mance, do you want like a safe word if you think that we're about to give away too many spoilers? Maybe if you just kind of yell banana.
Banana, 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 banana.
And then we'll
massive, pointy banana.
And we'll just stop talking Days of Future Past immediately.
All right, then let's move on to the news about Edgar Wright departing from the Ant-Man film.
Yeah, that's come as quite a blow for me.
Why has that happened? I've literally just heard that headline. I haven't heard anything else about this story.
It's due to differences in the vision for the movie.
Mainly.
I think obviously he's been working on it for 8 years. He wrote the preliminary script 8 years ago,
right?
And that was before Iron Man. and it was before any of the MCU, any of that. So this whole universe is built up, and this big movie franchise is built up around it. Mm-hmm. I think Marvel want to push it more towards being a part of the MCU.
Oh, I see. Is this the Marvel? What is the MCU?
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, right. As opposed to the Marvel Comic Universe, because that won't get confusing at all.
Well, no.
Yes.
Fine. Okay, carry on.
No, they could have called it the Marvel Movie Universe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To make it the MMU. Why make things simple?
Exactly, like the Manchester Metropolitan University. That's the only thing they'd confuse it with.
Is there anything they could call it where it wouldn't be confusing?
No.
No.
Just call it the Marvel Movie Universe. Just call it the words that abbreviate it.
Yeah. In the Marvel movies.
Yeah. But that's a blow for me, because I was hoping that Wright would bring a different taste to the genre.
Yeah.
Instead of a lot of the movies become samey after a while.
You've
just got a different colour on the outfit.
Well, I think what Edgar Wright probably would have brought to it is the same kind of thing that Jon Favreau brought to Iron Man, in that it needed to seem and appear as though it was something that was new, not something that was part of something ongoing. Mm. Not to discredit any of the other Avengers or, you know, individual hero movies, but it needed to be its own identity. It needed to just say, hello, this is part of the Avengers universe. Maybe the button sequence in the credits would relate to whatever the ongoing storyline is, but the film itself really needed to be isolated. So,
do we know anything about the original script or what the movie was going to be like?
Well, I mean, we know that they casted Michael Douglas and Paul Rudd in it as Michael Douglas was playing Hank Pym, wasn't he, senior?
Yeah.
And Paul Rudd, the younger sort of iteration of Ant-Man. But I'm sure there's probably a script knocking about somewhere that's been leaked somewhere.
I'm just wondering how it was so offensive or whatever that they decided to pull the plug on it.
I don't think it was offensive. I just think that Edgar Wright's a director that has got an idea for a movie that he wants to make, and if he can't make, if he's unable to make that movie, then it's almost like he's stepping back because it's been taken out of his hands.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's going to sort of completely discredit what he wanted to do, because he was the main reason that Marvel were actually interested in pursuing the property. Like, his vision for Ant-Man, according to one of the articles that I've read, is still the sort of main focus of the film. But Marvel wanted to possibly shoehorn in a few more elements from the more traditional formula that they've got going right now with the Marvel movies. And I think Edgar Wright really did want to keep that individuality.
Yeah. You see, my worry for that is Iron Man 3 and Thor 2. For me, they were both huge letdowns of movies, especially
really?
Thor 2. I thought Thor 2 was shocking.
I haven't seen Thor 2. I've seen Iron Man 3. I really enjoyed Iron Man 3.
And it was good because of the action. The story behind it was absolutely pants off.
There was about 20 minutes of action in it.
There was very little Iron Man, I will give it that. And the Iron Man suit kept falling apart.
Like a panic attack. 24/7.
Yeah, kept falling apart. But it was... I thought it was interesting. I thought it tried to actually do something different with it.
It was brave to...
It was brave.
Run it like that.
And
it just didn't work for me.
Are we allowed to spoil the big twist, given that it's been out for like a year?
I would imagine so now, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Iron Man 3.
Fine. What they did with the Mandarin, I thought was really awesome.
that was bold.
Yeah, yeah.
To take a beloved villain like that and completely flip the identity of it.
Because we could have had another Iron Man 2. It could have just been, New York happened, and we're just going to carry on having another fighty Iron Man killing lots of things one. But instead it's like, no, New York was pretty shit, and everyone's kind of suffering from the fallout from it. And I thought that was quite interesting. It was the first one that came out after the Avengers, wasn't it?
I think Thor 2 is disappointing for me in the fact that, knowing that the Marvel movie universe is meant to be an ongoing thing, it doesn't really add anything to phase two of the films, apart from spoiler alert for Thor 2, by the way. The Infinity Stones, which are just alluded to right at the end of the film, which is a little bit pointless for me.
Yeah, definitely. I just felt like it was bad on so many levels. I thought it was poorly scripted and really poorly acted, especially from... I thought Eccleston was just... He wasn't intimidating in the slightest. He just didn't... He had no sort of... He was just this plastic man that shuffled onto the set and said a few mumbled words.
He was wearing a lot of plastic.
He was wearing a lot of plastic.
I've only seen trailers and screenshots without having actually seen the film, but he looks a bit odd, and I wasn't quite sure what they were going to do with that.
But not as much plastic as Natalie Portman was wearing. Or was that just her acting skills?
Oh, snap.
Oh, damn.
And that girl from Two Girls, One Cup, or whatever. Was it two broke girls? Is that the
one? Sorry,
yeah, I think that's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
And Natalie Portman won an Oscar. Didn't she win one for Black Swan, or have I got that wrong?
Yeah, but you know, you throw a lesbian kiss in and some people are bound to applaud you, aren't they?
It's about ballet in the darkness of one's soul, Chris. Very moving as a movie.
It has meta themes.
Yes.
But I mean, looking forward in Marvel, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy, which I'm really looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Since trailer one, I thought it was a fresh take on the genre, and it was a sort of different direction for it to go in. The actual story is a lot more of a fun-filled. It's almost comedy.
Yeah.
If you in the comic books, and I think it's a good move to sort of get out of this formulaic. You know, there's your good guy, there's your bad guy. Good guy loses a bit and then wins.
He is a massive fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to be a refreshing break from what we already know.
Yeah.
I like the aspects of the cosmic side of Marvel that they're going to finally start exploring. There's a lot there. I mean, there's a lot of storylines that casual moviegoers probably aren't aware of, which could be pretty decent in the cinema. So
They tried with Green Lantern. A bit. I mean, I know he's DC, but as in, like, to try and bring in cosmic stuff, it was didn't work.
Green Lantern. That was an entertaining movie if you just took it for what it was, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the people who made the film got the concept of, hey guys, I've got this green ring of power. I can use my imagination to create anything I want. and the best thing that we saw was fighter jets.
Yeah.
Guns. What the hell is that all about?
American military hardware.
And a Hot Wheels loop-a-loop as well.
Yes, that was that was the particular downside of the whole damn film.
And really big fists. Lots of really big green fists.
Hulk smash fists.
Now, talking DC, I suppose we've got to talk about Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice.
Superman, Dawn of Justice.
That is like the most manliest title of a film ever created.
I read a good article on it recently that suggested it sounded like a Supreme Court case. Superman v. Batman.
It does a little bit, actually, yeah. Even the subtitle sounds like a Supreme Court case.
Exactly. Dawn of Justice is like the first ever Supreme Court case was Superman versus Batman. Over parking or something, I don't know.
Parking fine.
All we do know is that Batman is incredibly sad, so it's going to be pretty bad there.
Well, I'm kind of holding out for a massive curveball that it is in fact sort of like a 2-hour West Wing style drama of a big legal wrangle between Superman and Batman.
I would all over that satellite that got destroyed in Man of Steel.
Exactly.
Yeah, precisely.
How are you guys taking to Batfleck?
I'm reasonably okay with Batfleck.
I've seen him like looking like buff as anything, then yeah, it could work. When I saw him before, and he was literally like the size of a pea, I wasn't impressed.
See, I've been backing him from day one. I think he's going to do a fantastic job of it. And what's more, I think he might be in line to direct a future Justice League movie.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting.
I think that'd be a good gamble.
Yeah. But he's got some directing chops, hasn't he? But generally,
big time.
Yeah. I suppose when you consider Fargo, and he was kind of the lead actor in that, and if he did direct a Justice League movie, Batman, while he's one of the lead characters, he wouldn't necessarily be taking all of the screen time. So,
He hasn't directed anything big in action either, really, has he? He's kind of done a lot of characters.
Argo, and The Town. Yeah. Did you do The Town?
Yes, The Town. The Town is a really good film. If anyone's actually seen that,
yeah.
And to be fair, Mansell, if you've seen The Town, then you wouldn't have thought that Ben Affleck looked like a pea because he actually looked hard as nails. So
I've not seen that film. Last time I saw a picture of him, he was literally the size of a pea, man. He was not very much.
Argo was a fantastic movie. It literally had me on the edge of my seat from start to finish.
In one of my happier moments recently, I got compared to Ben Affleck in Argo, as in appearance-wise, which I was quite pleased with.
I can see that with your beard.
I was wearing a suit. They're like, oh, it's Ben Affleck from Argo. I was like, oh, thanks. stuck in the 70s.
I think that he's got enough charisma to pull off Bruce Wayne. And, yeah. I mean, by the look of his physicality and the one image of Batman, he can definitely sort of pull off the look of Batman.
He can definitely brood it up.
Yeah, exactly.
He is mega butch these days.
You look fine standing on top of a building, looking down on a darkened city.
Yeah, the trademark
upset
Batman pose.
I think it'll be good. But my main problem with the Superman v Batman thing as a whole is Superman would just win, right? You know, like immediately.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be better than that, isn't he?
Okay. But he's already shown that he can kill in the last Superman film, which is a prequel to this, right?
I think the idea is he's got to be better than that.
That was the point of contention, though. A lot of criticism came as a result of him killing his adversary.
All
the destruction as well.
Oh, well, his adversary.
Yes,
that narrows it down. he did have multiple adversaries, I guess.
Well, you've got to. I suppose you've got to consider the mortality rate of the civilians of Metropolis.
Oh God!
Superman is bound to have taken somebody out, surely to God.
I'm kind of hoping there will be fallout from that one in this next film.
Well, that's what I was hoping for.
That's the point.
Yeah,
I was hoping to see a more politically minded Luther. Mm-hmm. Going after Superman, saying, this alien has destroyed our city.
Exactly, we killed need to get billions rid of people.
That was the angle I was hoping we were going to see from Luther.
Yeah, fair enough.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Good choice, I think. I think
different, not what everyone was expecting. I think the whole world was crying out for Bryan Cranston.
That would have been good. But what time period are they going for? Because you've got an older Batman, haven't you?
Yeah, an older Batman, but a younger Luther.
A younger Luther, which is weird, because they're going kind of Frank Miller's Batman v Superman, aren't they? Batman's costume looks very similar.
I think that a lot of the elements of the film will probably sort of deride from the Miller Dark Knight Returns comic, but maybe that'll just sort of be the look, the art style, maybe the way that the fight between Batman and Superman plays out in that. Maybe Batman is the first person to discover Superman's weakness, and that's how he gets control over him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's got to be some kind of plot point that gives Batman an advantage, other than being loved by the public, even though he's a bit of a douchebag.
Yeah, well, he's the comic book world's greatest detective, isn't he, Batman? he's a genius.
Yeah.
And that's got to be his edge over Superman. He's got to find the weak spot and exploit
He's got a way with the ladies. Whereas Superman, I think, at least in the TV series, was an awkward virgin. There was a significant point about that, wasn't there? In like one of the films that you think he lost, because you know he represents everything about truth, justice, and the American way, including no sex before marriage and being this kind of upstanding young man. Whereas Batman's a bit, you know, a bit grubby.
Batman's just rough around the edges. He's hard. Superman's a bit lame, I think.
Bit like a playboy, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
I've always found Superman, the way he's represented to sort of, you know, kids and things, he's just a bit lame. Like, he's ultra powerful. He should be way cooler than he really is. Whereas Batman, he's just a guy who's got mad skills, but he beats the living crap out of people.
Yeah.
You know? He actually demonstrates power that he has, whereas Superman just doesn't.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to demonstrate his power as in kill everybody who stands in his way. But, you know, just break some bones, man. Get a grip.
Break some necks.
Bear hug someone. Pile of ash.
So,
what do people think of the last Superman film?
Sorry, Chris. Brandon Routh.
Yeah, like, as in just everything about it. So I think Brandon Routh as Superman, I quite liked, but
yeah, I think if Kevin Spacey wasn't in it, it might actually just disappear off the face of the planet.
the last Superman film. Superman
looks like the giant island of kryptonite that Superman throws into space.
Yeah,
but at least that was fun, you know. That's the kind of plot I come to my Superman movies to see. I don't want to see him like throw tanks. I want to see him move an island.
One thing that Superman Returns did for me was it showed how with special effects Superman could be really cool. Like the way he was sort of floating in space, and then he zooms in on some sound and zooms down to Earth. Like, that was super cool. Mm-hmm. And then he gets shot in the eye with a minigun, and he's like, ding, yeah, that's not a problem. So back off.
Back down, sunshine.
Ah, there's nails. Oh, yeah, there was I remember that scene. There was like some criminals that set up a minigun on a roof or something. I was like, that was your criminal plan? To have a minigun on a roof?
Shoot Superman in the face. Well, you kind of pin yourself in.
Yeah,
If you know that there's some god that's just come back to the earth, you kind of don't want to go there.
Mm.
You're thinking, what can we do today? I know what we can do. We can hark off the most powerful guy in history.
Yes.
Shoot him in the face.
We got a minigun, Superman. Bring it.
So, moving on through the studios, I want to talk a little bit about Sony and their Spider-Man franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think
who's seen Spider-Man? Spider-Man 2? Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. There we go. That's the best classification for it. Ben, I mean, I still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, Chris. I find that severely disappointing from somebody who dresses as Spider-Man in his spare time.
That's what I do. I swing through the streets while everyone sleeps.
Oh my god! It's a really good film. I really enjoyed it. It builds on the pretty strong foundation that the Amazing Spider-Man laid down. It does get a little bit confusing towards the end. The three villain formula was sort of thrown together last minute. I think you can tell in some way, but in no way does it come off like the original Spider-Man trilogy, Spider-Man 3, which was just an abysmal mess.
Of a movie.
Mm. Yes. It was an abortion of faith with comic book movies, to be honest. But Amazing Spider-Man 2, it retains its dignity. Some of the plot twists are actually fairly decent as well.
What I'm more interested in is the future for that. He's contracted to do two more movies. Straight off the bat, we're looking at
Seems optimistic.
We're looking at a spin-off movie for The Sinister Six.
And Venom.
And also for Venom. So it looks like Sony are really going...
Just keep this train rolling.
Well, definitely. And building on it a lot more than the original Tobey Maguire movies did.
Because I really actually quite disliked Amazing Spider-Man 1. Sorry, Ben.
You're entitled to your opinion, but don't vote. Don't view it here, please.
Don't voice that opinion.
Yes, that's the one.
I don't know. It just seemed like such a cynical cash grab that just try and retain the license. And it told exactly the same story, almost beat for beat, that Spider-Man 1 did. I think.
Yeah, that's the problem with doing a reboot so close to the original.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel new. Obviously, you know, each reboot tells the same story slightly differently, but that was so close to the original that it didn't feel new in any way.
Exactly. I mean, because I like original Spider-Man 1. It was a great story. It was a great superhero film. It's probably one of my favorite superhero films ever.
Well,
I didn't mind seeing it again. It was all right. I was just kind of like, why am I watching this again?
I think Amazing Spider-Man 1 is, I mean, you've got to retread the same ground to sort of reintroduce the character, but the version of the character that they're going to tell. But it's pretty important the way that he becomes Spider-Man. And if you haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2, then obviously the first movie, some of those sort of story beats won't really resonate with you.
Does it create a decent payoff, like Amazing Spider-Man
2? Yeah.
Well, Amazing. Okay.
The research that Richard Parker does, you know, that's alluded to, and is the main focal point, really, of the lizard and all that stuff, is really expanded on in the second film, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, you had to expect that from the final scene of the first one, really, in the cell.
But Amazing Spider-Man 2, Electro's a good villain. The way they handle his powers is actually excellent, especially when it comes to the main fight at the end of the film.
I've got to say, I'm glad they didn't go with his original costume.
Yeah.
What was his original costume?
It was like some big jagged lightning bolt hat.
Oh, I have seen that. Oh, yeah. I would have loved that. I would have loved a really serious scene where Jamie Foxx had to like slowly don a big jaggedy hat and then go off and fight Spider-Man. Because I can see studio execs going, yeah, we could definitely do that. We can definitely do that. And then somebody vetoing that one at the last minute. Probably Jamie Foxx.
Probably, yeah. we're coming up to the last couple of minutes now, so I just wanted to add in this Saturday the 31st, we're doing a big giveaway for the new Dead Island game, Dead Island Epidemic. Ooh. Epidemic, even.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing a live stream from 8 p.m. until midnight, GMT, and we're going to be giving away two free beta codes. If you tune into the live stream on twitch.tv/bottlerocket, you'll find out how to enter the competition.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Join us on Saturday night to find out how you can win two free codes to Dead Island Epidemic's closed beta.
That is nice. Pretty good.
Excellent.
And we've been playing a bit today, and it's different.
Yes. If you played Dead Island 1 and Riptide, you just chuck them out the window. Say goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a completely different game.
Venom.
Imagine League of Legends meets World War Z.
Right.
League of Legends meets Diablo meets DayZ meets Diablo meets, it's very, very weird.
That sounds awesome.
And as always, if you want to follow us, it's twitter.com/bottlerocket, rocket spelled R-O-K-K-I-T. facebook.com/bottlerocket, again, R-O-K-K-I-T. You can search for us on YouTube. And that's about it. I've been Chris.
I've been Jake.
I've certainly been Ben.
I've definitely been the Mance.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.